In 2000, Jim Hankey, curator of Cleveland's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum, had worked with John Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono, to assemble artifacts for the museum's massive Lennon exhibit that year. Things like John's grade school drawings, a business card from his original band, The Quarrymen, and handwritten lyrics to his songs. When the exhibit wrapped up, instead of touring it around the U.S., Hankey got another idea from a Seattle book company.
Andy Mayer, who's one of the principals of the company, said, "God, you know, we do these books where you can actually reproduce these historical documents and actually take them out of the book.
So now we have Lennon Legend, a fat 60-page volume packed with authentic-looking reproductions of memorabilia from Lennon's life. On page 8 here, a built-in pocket offers Lennon's grammar school report cards with good grades in art, while his French teacher called him disappointing, always after a cheap laugh. Alongside biographical text written by Hankey are 40 pull-out extras, many that prove Lennon's innate creativity, and others that feel like pop history. A replica of an Ed Sullivan Show ticket, a film poster from A Hard Day's Night, and handwritten lyrics to songs like Day Tripper, In My Life, and Imagine.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
The Lennon Legend book includes a CD with audio of a rare 1972 television performance of Imagine, also compelling and rarely heard interviews of Lennon at his casual best. Here, in a recording made the morning before he was shot to death in New York, John reflected on parenting his son, Sean.
"But I think it's better for him to see me as I am. If I'm grumpy, I'm grumpy. If I'm not, I'm not. If I want to play, I'll play. If I don't, I don't. I don't kowtow to him. I'm straight with him as I can be."
Another book, Ticket to Ride by Larry Kane, takes us back 40 years, when Lennon and his Beatle bandmates were crisscrossing America during their first frenzied tour of the U.S., a wild excursion witnessed by the author, who was then a young radio reporter from Miami.
"Hello, this is Larry Kane, one of three broadcasters traveling with the Beatles. At this moment, we're flying across the American Midwest. We're right over Kansas, about 23,000 feet in the air."
On the Beatles' 1964 and 1965 tours, Kane interviewed the boys for radio reports. His book offers some new behind-the-scenes detail about being with the Beatles in what John Lennon called the eye of the hurricane, as well as some stories of Kane stepping into the hurricane to encounter the fans so desperate to meet the Beatles. This book also comes with a CD of some of Kane's interviews that reveal the human side of each Beatle, like an exasperated Ringo Starr on occasionally unmannered fans.
"We go in restaurants sometimes, and you can have your fork full of food halfway to your mouth, and someone will just smash it on the hand and say, 'Sign this,' without a please, thank you, or anything. And this annoys you, you know, naturally. You know, I don't want anyone to think of me as a piece of furniture. You know, I'm not a piece of furniture, I'm a human being. You know, I have feelings the same as anyone else, we all do."
How Beatlemania got started in the U.S. is the subject of a book by Bruce Spizer. In The Beatles Are Coming, Spizer tracks every twist and turn of the year leading up to the Beatles' U.S. arrival in February 1964, taking care not to simply republish old, unsupportable anecdotes.
"Being a tax attorney, I know how to research, and I know that often people's memories are wrong. So for that reason, I was not relying on prior books, and I was not relying on what people were telling me. I was relying on documents."
Many documents are reproduced in the book, along with some great rare photos and wonderful stories. And the fun extra for this book isn't even in the book. It's a website that imagines what a New York teen named Lisa would be writing in her online diary if the internet was around in 1964, and she was getting into the Ed Sullivan Show to see the Beatles. And if we could hear Lisa, it might sound like this.
"Everyone was so excited. Whenever anyone thought the Beatles would show up, people started screaming. Ed Sullivan came out, and he told us we could scream when the Beatles were on, but we had to be quiet for the other acts. He made us promise. He said he'd call a barber if we kept screaming."
Spizer's been writing the daily updates himself, saying with a smile there's nothing wrong with an author adapting into his characters. You can read Lisa's diary at thebeatlesarecoming.com. I'm Paul Ingalls.